tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Ah, there we go. Okay, I've probably said this before. I'm colorblind, okay? And the dot is red and green. Guess what? I'm colorblind. I can't see red or green, so I thought it was on. Okay, so blame it on me. Hey, we are finishing up our series today, To the Core. We've been exploring the seven core values of Next Level Church. And what I want to do is just take a quick minute to give us a little bit of a review. I also encourage you to go to our website and you can listen or you can watch any of the previous messages. If you happen to miss them, or you just want a refresher, if there's one that really just like impacted you or challenged you, those are available. But let's just do a little bit of a review. The first thing I want to give you is the definition of what a core value is, and here's our definition. Core values are the root beliefs that a person or organization operates from. They are the principal perspectives that guide a person or organization's behaviors with others. They're like guideposts. They move us in the right direction and make sure that we're actually staying on mission. And so really quick, let's just walk back through the areas that we've covered, our previous six core values. The first one we started with was start with God and the rest will follow. All about cultivating your relationship with God, letting it be a first priority. And then we talked about how authenticity matters, which has to do with us being in sync with who God designed us to be. Third, we learned that it's God's kingdom, not ours. It's all about Him and bringing His kingdom to bear in every place that He has sent us. We also learned you can't do life alone, right? We're built for community. We're built to be in relationship with one another. We then talked about that we go the second mile, just as Jesus did by laying down His life for us and being raised to new life, that we go the second mile so that we can live out this principle. And then last week, we talked about that we take next steps. Well, throughout this series, Pastor Rob and Scott have taken the opportunity to poke a little fun at some other organizations and their core values that sometimes just don't make sense, or you just don't associate with them. Well, today I'm switching it up a little bit. I'm actually going to give you a core value that I believe this organization actually lives out. So you may actually guess this one correctly. That'd be good. You can all be winners, right? So I'm going to put it on the screen. Best tasting laxative. You guys are winners because look, right here. Okay, that's not really their core value, okay? But this week, I was looking through Facebook, and I saw this from our very own Jason Covington, and he was reaching out to Pastor Rob, and he says this, "I am a witness. Taco Bell's core value should be best tasting laxative." Woo! I'll let you interpret that woo however you would like to, for whatever it means. Okay, that's not really their core value, but it's kind of funny because, you know, maybe if you eat too much Taco Bell, you know this to be true. So we'll reach out to their marketing department and maybe they'll get it on their core values. As Rob mentioned today, we are talking about a core value that, to be honest, we sometimes struggle with as a church when we, as a staff, as a leadership team, when we're praying and thinking through about how we can grow and improve. This is one that we're like, you know what? I think we struggle at this and we want to get better. So I'm hoping that this message today can be part of a catalyst for it being more than just a core value that's on the wall, but actually something that's being lived out in us as individuals, but also us as a church. And this makes sense because we say this all the time, Next Level is not a perfect church because it's made up of imperfect people, right? And we all have areas of growth, we all have next steps. And Jesus knows this too. In the book of Revelation, he writes to and speaks to the seven churches. And what he does, he says, okay, you know, you've got some of these things. This is really good. Keep doing this. But there are some other things that are going on that you need some improvement on. And we just are being honest to say this is a core value that we're not really knocking out of the park, but we really want to. And how will we gauge that? It's going to be you and I saying we're going to own this. So what is the core value? And this is going to serve as our big idea. The core value is disciples disciple. And we're going to explain what we mean by that. But at its core, it's this, that we as disciples have a calling to help other people in their discipleship journey. You know, I think a lot of times it's easy for us to work on our own spiritual walks, but then forget that we're called to play an active role in helping other people grow as disciples. And so with that, I want to bring us to our text for today, which is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. If you've been around the church for a while, you might have heard this. If you're new to church, then welcome. This is often referred to as the Great Commission. It's one of the last things that Jesus gave to his disciples, his physical disciples that were there, but then also to every disciple that would follow after. And one thing we do at Next Level Church is we like to stand and read the text together. So if you would, if you're able, will you stand with us? And we've been discipling you in something for a long time. Just to have a little fun, we get to the verse reference, which is Matthew 28. You see those two dots? Who knows what we do? Dot, right? Why do we do that? Just because it's fun and participation. I chose for us to read the longest verse together, okay? That's just, it's going to be great. We're gonna all read it together. We get to the reference, we'll do the dot together. So we read along with me Jesus' words. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Matthew 28, 18 to 20. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for choosing to include us in this mission. We ask now that your Holy Spirit that you promised would guide us into all truth, that you would lead us and guide us, and that we go ahead and say our yes to you right now, that we will obey whatever you call us to do. And we ask for you to just rule in these moments in our hearts and our minds. We can't do this without you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. So both our core value and the scripture today centers around a key word, and that word is disciple. But what do we mean when we use the word disciple? Now, one of my favorite movies is The Princess Bride. Is anybody, who likes that movie? Anybody like that movie? It's so good. It's got everything. It's got Peter Falk, who played Columbo, and Fred Savage from The Wonder Years. It's got Andre the Giant. I mean, it's got romance and action and comedy. It's got everything. I love it. It's one of my favorites. Well, throughout the movie, one of the bad guy, Vicini, uses this one phrase all the time. He said, anytime something happens, he goes, "Inconceivable." Okay? And so throughout this movie, every time things happen, he goes, "Inconceivable." And finally, at one point, another of the characters looks at him and he says this, "You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." And I love that. And so I decided to make a meme using that picture, and it's disciple. "You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." So for a lot of us within the church, we have defined being a disciple simply as making a decision. We've kind of like narrowed it down so that being a disciple means, okay, there's a moment where you made a decision to believe in Jesus, and that's what it means to be a disciple. Now, don't mishear me. It begins with the decision. But that is not the fullness of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And to help us to understand a little bit more, now I love this quote. It's from a guy named Scott McKnight, And this is what he writes. He says, most of evangelism today is obsessed with getting people to make a decision. The apostles, however, were obsessed with making disciples. You see, it's more than just saying, okay, I want you to pray a prayer. I want you to say yes to Jesus at this moment, and that's it. No, discipleship is a lifelong process. And we're going to get to a definition in just a moment. The word that is used in our text today for make disciples is mathetes. It means teacher, or it's a learner that follows a teaching. And the idea wrapped up in this word is the idea of imitation, that you are imitating the teacher in their lifestyle, in their words, in their actions. And to give you a little bit of a visual of this, I've got a picture of two of my daughters when they were younger. It's kind of hard to see, but I'm in the kitchen one day, and all of a sudden they come walking in wearing my clothes, okay? They have on like my tennis shoes. They each have on a hat, which 99% of the time I'm wearing a hat. One of them has a Clemson shirt on. I'm a huge Clemson University fan. Under the shirt, they've got a Carolina Panthers, which again, my team. I loved it. It made me laugh. Now, that little case, I don't ever carry a case, but that is Mexican train, which I love to play. What were they doing? They were imitating me, right? They were following my pattern of life. And in the same way, most of my daughters actually like the Carolina Panthers. We won't talk about the one traitor that chose to pull for a different team. But that's okay. I still love her anyway. Let me take you back to the scriptures in John chapter 8, where Jesus helps us to see a little bit more of how discipleship is more than a decision. In John 8, Jesus says this. He said, so Jesus said to the Jews who had what? Believe. That's a decision, right? At the beginning of a journey of discipleship is the moment where someone says, I'm choosing to believe in Jesus, that he is who he says he is. So there's a decision. But notice what Jesus then continues to say. If you, what's the next word? Abide in my word. If you continue to follow, if you live within my word, you are truly my disciples. So do you see what he's saying? That like if all you did is believe, but then you did not continue to abide, are you truly being a disciple? He says, no. And so he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I'm going to give everybody a definition. If you're taking notes, write this down, and it's going to help guide the rest of our time together. A disciple is a believer who's becoming more and more like Jesus by trusting and following Jesus. Okay? It's a believer who's becoming more and more like Jesus by trusting and following Jesus. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says that we are predestined to become conformed to the image of Jesus. What that means is that everybody that is in Christ, everybody that believes in him, our destiny is that we would reflect Jesus more by more. Now, how many of you, just as you're sitting here, don't you wish in your life that you reflected Jesus more than you do right now? That in the way that in your relationships, in your beliefs, in your values, in your actions, your thoughts, that our goal, our destiny is that we become more like Jesus, that we imitate him. And so the rest of this message, what I want to do is focus on what does it mean to be disciples, those who believe and are becoming more like Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple who disciples? So I'm going to give you one more definition, okay? This is the definition of a disciple maker. This is someone that's living out the core value that we're talking about. A disciple maker is a disciple who intentionally helps others meet Jesus, trust Jesus, and follow Jesus. Intentionally helps others meet Jesus, trust Jesus, and follow Jesus. And this is going to serve as our guide for the rest of our message and time together. So back to Matthew 28, verse 19. Now in this verse, when you're looking at it, I've highlighted three phrases. Go, baptizing, and teaching. Those are the words that Jesus uses to describe how we go about making disciples. So the core command is make disciples, but then the question is, how do we do it? Like, how do we actually go about helping people become more and more like Jesus? How do we help people to be on this lifelong journey of following? And he gives these three words: go, baptize, and teach. So here's the first point today, the first part of our definition. A disciple maker intentionally helps. We are all on the go a lot. A little bit less now in COVID time, but we're all on the go, aren't we? We're going different places. I mean, we go to work, school. I mean, you go to restaurants, you go to places. We're all on the go all the time. But the question is, are we on the go with an intentionality? Are we going as people that are on mission, as people that have a calling to make disciples? This isn't on your screen, but I want you just to really ponder this. The reality is we're all on the go, but are we going with the intention of making disciples? So if you're a parent, are you going with intentionality in raising your kids and saying, I want to help them be disciples. I want to help them become more like Jesus. And if you're a worker, are you going to work not simply with the goal of doing your job, but saying, how can I do this and help make disciples in the midst of this work? If you're an employer, are you asking, how can I go intentionally? Or as a student, as a friend? Now, I want you to think about Jesus just for a moment. And I would propose that everything that Jesus did was intentionally focused on making disciples. If you want to see this for yourself this week and want a little bit of homework, I know everybody doesn't love homework, I challenge you to take one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read it with the idea of how did Jesus intentionally go about making disciples. And as you read, you're going to see that Jesus did everything on purpose and for a purpose. Let me just give you a couple examples. When he's walking by the sea and he sees Simon and Andrew, he looks at them and says, follow me. He could have just passed by them. He could have ignored them, but he didn't. Instead, he said, with intentionality, I want you to come follow me. And then later he sees James and John. He says the same thing, follow me. He later sees Matthew at the tax office and he issues him an invitation. And here's the first thing I want you to see. If we're going to be people who are disciples, who make disciples, we have to begin living our life with an intentionality toward that purpose. That we'd say, whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm going with the intentionality of following Jesus. And that's actually how that word could be translated. The word go is a participle. It could be translated as you go, or as you're going, make disciples. That's the first part, is are you living with this intentionality? The Apostle Paul lived with this intentionality. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says this, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. I'm going to stop right now and I want to address what I think is the biggest objection and roadblock that we have to why we struggle with this core value. We are all keenly aware of how far away we are from looking like Jesus, aren't we? And what we do is we think, I'm not close enough to looking like Jesus that I could invite and help disciple somebody else. So we think, you know what, I need to wait until later on when I'm more mature. And Pastor Rob addressed that last week, right? Maturity is not a category you reach. It's something that we're pursuing. We're always growing. And here's what I want you to see. If you are one step ahead of someone in the discipleship journey, you are qualified to be a disciple maker. If you are one step ahead of someone else, then you are qualified and called to be a disciple maker. So I want us to lay aside the excuse of saying, you know what, I've got things in my life I'm still dealing with. That's right, we do. But don't people need to see others that are struggling and trying to strive after Jesus themselves? And you're not saying, hey, I'm perfect. The Apostle Paul was not perfect. But he looked at people and said, imitate me as I try and imitate Jesus. In Romans 7, the Apostle Paul, he explains his own struggle. He says, you know, I often know the right thing to do, but I find myself not doing that thing. And even though that was true about his life, and even though it's true about our lives, it shouldn't stop us from saying, yes, I want to be an intentional disciple maker. Okay, point number two. A disciple maker intentionally helps others. The key word is others. Discipleship is all about people. It's all about personal relationships. Where do we see this? Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples where? Of all nations. That's people. People of every tribe, tongue, and nation. See, discipleship is focused on relationships. I'd like to share a story with you of where I saw someone intentionally step into my life and choose to disciple me. There was a guy named Rayford that he was over the students at my church. And he did something. He took a group of wild teenage boys and he said, basically, like, hey guys, why don't y'all come follow me? I just want to show you what it means to follow Jesus. And it looked pretty simple. So we would, on a weekly basis, we would come over to his house and his wife would cook dinner for us and we would all sit and share a meal together. We may go play soccer in the backyard. He stunk at soccer. He was awful, but we were into it, so that's what he did. And during that time, we would have conversations. We would talk about life, and it was interspersed in there. We would talk about Jesus. Now, I cannot pinpoint for you a particular conversation that we had. But what mattered is he, with intentionality, says, hey, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. And I do remember this one moment that he was like, do you guys know how to have, like, a devotion time? Like, you know, reading your Bible and stuff, and we're like, not really. He said, would you guys be willing to get up early and just come hang out with me one morning? I'll just show you what I do. And so here was me and these two other guys, and we're here with him. And he's like, well, I usually start and I just pray and ask God to speak to me. So let's just pray. And he prayed. He says, then I open up and I just read some verses and I think about, and like, we really were just like there watching him do this. But it impacted me. And what was he doing is he was being personal. See, programs are not what change people. See, we're not going to change the culture and hold on to this core value by saying, okay, let's do a new program. No, it's all about people. And it's about you and I looking at people and saying, I don't have it all together, but I'm a step ahead. Let's just learn together. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. Consider this quote. I just think it's so arresting. It says, do you ever say to a young Christian, do you want to know what Christianity is like? Watch me. If you never do, you're unbiblical. Why does he say that? Because it's exactly what Jesus did. It's what Paul did. It's what we're called to do. And that brings us to the last part for today, part number three. A disciple maker intentionally helps others do three things. Meet Jesus, trust Jesus, and follow Jesus. So let's talk about each of those just for a moment. So here you are, you're convinced, you're like, you know what? I want to be a part of making disciples. Then what are you actually leading people to do? The first thing is you want people to meet Jesus. If you haven't noticed, Jesus is not walking around in our midst right now. The scripture tells us that after he rose again, that he ascended into heaven, and one day he will return again. But during that time, how are people going to meet Jesus? By meeting you and I. People are going to meet Jesus when they meet us. They're going to see Jesus in us. I want to share one more story. And I think because I had not just Rayford, I could have said there were other people that came alongside me in my life and walked with me. So there was a guy one time that we became friends. I live in Gloucester. We would hang out at Starbucks and we ran into each other all the time, had a mutual friend. And we started a conversation. He's like, yeah, I'm an agnostic. I don't really know if there's a God. Maybe not. And I said, well, I said, I'll just be honest. I'm a fully committed Christian. I believe Jesus really lived. He died. He rose again. I believe what Scripture says about him is true. I said, I just want you to know where I'm coming from, but I would love to have some conversations with you. Like, I don't have all the answers, but I'd love to be a conversation partner. And so for the next 3 years, we randomly would just meet up and talk about the Bible. And at the and there was another guy kind of doing the same thing in his life. And at the end of this 3 years, I was seeing him move from this agnostic, I don't know, to finally he says, you know what? He says, I actually believe that this is true. Does that mean I need to be a follower? He said, I believe Jesus died and rose again. What do I do? I said, hey. I said, it seems like you've met Jesus, and now it's time to trust him with your life. And he got baptized, and he's still following after Jesus. Now, the reason I tell that story is that's really what discipleship is. And ultimately, we want for people to be able to meet Jesus and then to trust Jesus. Let me just give you two verses really quickly. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. Now I want to say this, if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives within you, and so you are empowered to be able to do this. You are actually not making disciples on your own. You have the Holy Spirit of God within you that is going to help you to do this. Isn't that incredible? He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so that you will be my what? Witnesses. You're going to give testimony to who I am and what I've done. You're going to help people to meet me. You're going to be my hands and feet. When people see you, they're going to see me. When they hear you, they're going to hear me. And one other verse, 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts, honor Christ as holy, always being prepared to make a defense. Where we get the word apology. To anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is within you. That we should live these attractional lives that help people want to know Jesus and trust Jesus. That's what disciple making is. And our hope and our prayer is that someone will meet Jesus and then trust Jesus. That's what the Great Commission means in Matthew 28:19 when it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptism is when someone says, I trust Jesus. I'm ready to go public with my faith. I'm ready to identify and not just meet Jesus, but say, I'm going to trust him in my life. Remember, that's that decision point. But it doesn't end there. And this next part is one part of the Great Commission that I think that we forget about sometimes. Let's keep reading Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do what? Obey everything that I have commanded you. How long do you think that's going to take? A long time, right? The process of discipleship and being disciples who makes disciples doesn't end until the day that we take our last breath and we see Jesus face to face. And at that moment, we're fully transformed into his image. And we put off our old self. And that's going to be incredible. But during that time, until we get to that, remember back to our definition is once we believe, it's a day-by-day moment of becoming like Jesus. And here's the question. Are you helping anybody to do this? And it brings us to our when. Our when is what do we do with this? How do we actually take this and apply it? It says, make an intentional step to be a disciple-making disciple. Okay, you could apply this in a million ways. I'm just going to give you some examples. Parents, right now, you have the opportunity to be a disciple maker to your kids. Man, that right there, Jesus is like, all right, here you go. Here are some people to disciple them in. You know what? As much as I love the fact that some of my kids love the Panthers, that doesn't affect their eternity. But whether or not they follow Jesus does. Some of you have some friendships and you have somebody that hasn't really met Jesus and And maybe you need to walk with them on a journey for however long it takes to help lead them toward Jesus. Some of you, you need to be a small group leader. You know this. You've been sitting in small groups. You've been a part of it. But next time that we do something, you're like, nope, I need to lead a group because that's a way I can help disciple people. Some of you, come join us in student ministry. We've got teenagers that need to see people that love Jesus and are following after him. Are you going to be perfect? No. But if you're a step ahead of somebody, you're ready. What would happen if all of us with intentionality began saying, I'm going to help be not just a disciple, but I'm going to look at somebody else and say, hey, come follow me as I'm trying to follow Jesus. Imagine how our church and the entire world can be changed by that. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be disciples who make disciples. That we get to see people from every tribe, tongue, and nation come to know you. This is our purpose. This is our mission. This is what you've called us to. Let this be more than just a message we heard. Let it be something that we can look back a year from now and say, wow, look at how much we have embraced this as a church and as individuals. Thank you. Give us the courage to do whatever you call us to. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.